The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I'm Gina Mastrangeli. I've been a longtime member of this fellowship, and seeing all of you this morning is wonderful. It's Mother's Day. Not too many people are showing up. They're home with their mothers. So thank you for coming to this Mother's Day service. Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship is a caring community that aspires to empower people to grow spiritually, nurture one another, and work for justice and stewardship of the earth. Whether you are with us in person or online, we welcome you. We welcome you, whoever you are, whatever your background, wherever you are on your spiritual journey. We welcome you into our fellowship of love and compassion and joy. We extend a special welcome to any visitors this morning, and we have some. We have them over here. So please introduce yourself to our visitors after fellowship. And please stay for refreshments and our scintillating conversation. And those of you who are new on Zoom, please let us know who you are. We have a online visitor card in chat, so please sign it and we'll contact you and let you know more about our fellowship. So this Mother's Day service is going to begin with an amateur, emphasize amateur, musical video that showcases artwork of the many faces of the mother figure throughout history. The music is Eric Clapton's Holy Mother, and singing along with Clapton is Luciano Pavarotti and the East London Gospel Choir. This pain, I can't wait. Mother's Day offers the opportunity to celebrate the mother figure from the religious, sacred mothers from different faiths that capture the qualities that mothers could embody or can embody, to the joyous and tender mothers holding babies, to the harrowing, Dorothea Lange's famous photo of the migrant mother during the Depression era. So this morning, our own TPUF members and friends will share their reflections, readings, and music that express their feelings and thoughts about a mother or an influential mother figure. So now let us begin our service as we do every Sunday by lighting the chalice, the symbol of our liberal religious faith, and then the peace lamp. You know, we did test this out beforehand. What is the problem? I have an idea. Let's imagine. It's lit. May peace be with us. Okay, our first reading this morning will be by Carl Moseley, and he's online on Zoom. Is he? I hope. Okay.
Hello, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. My mother died 2 or 3 years ago, and I miss her every day. I still reach for the phone and say, I got to tell my mom this, and then I realize I can't. Anyway, I have a poem to read.
Sonnets are full of love. Sonnets are full of love, and this my tome has many sonnets, so here now shall be one sonnet more, a love sonnet from me to her whose heart is my heart's quiet home, to my first love, my mother, on whose knee I learned love lore that is not troublesome, whose service is my special dignity, and she my compass while I go and come. And so, because you love me, and because I love you, mother, I have woven a wreath of rhymes wherewith to crown your honored name. In you not 80 years can dim the flame of love, who's blessed.
That's going to be one of those mornings. Okay, thank you, Carl. Okay, our gathering hymn this morning is For the Beauty of the Earth, you know, Mother Goddess of the Earth. If you have the hymnal, it's hymn number 21. Now I'm going to ask you to stand. There's very few of us. One of the reasons we ask you to stand by the side is because people can't see, but there's so few of us, so please just stand as you are able, and let us sing For the Beauty of the Earth.
For the beauty.
Sheila? Oh, right.
So since we don't have any people in here, I just thought I'd be from here, and then I'll have to leave with you.
That's okay. It's easier for me to stand. So I thought if, this is just on the fly here, I thought I'll read the first part, and then you can just read the second part of the page. I am your parent, you are my child.
I am your quiet place, you are my wild.
I am your calm face, you are my giggle.
I am your weight, you are my wiggle.
I am your carriage ride, you are my king.
I am your push, you are my swing.
I am your audience, you are my clown. I am your carrot sticks, you are my licorice.
I am your dandelion, you are my first wish.
I am your water wings, you are my deep.
I am your open arms, you are my running feet.
I am your way home, you are my new path.
I am your dry towel, you are my wet bath.
I am your dinner, you are my chocolate cake. I am your finish line, you are my race.
I am your brand new, you are my saving grace.
I am your favorite book, you are my new lines, bless you.
I am your nightlight, you are my starshine.
I am your lullaby, you are my peekaboo.
I am your goodnight kiss, you are my I love you.
Very good, you all get a sticker.
That was great. Great idea. Thank you. Okay, so we don't have any children to sing off. So where are we now? So let's begin our reflections.
Good morning. I'm Gail Sayer. I'm not going to talk about, you know, my mom or someone influential in my life. I'm going to talk about my journey to motherhood and what it's meant to me. I mean, you've heard from John's perspective before on Father's Day, but I'm not sure you've really heard my perspective. So I thought I would talk a little bit about that. Now, from the time I was very young, I just had an expectation that I would grow up, go to college, meet a nice guy, get married, have a couple of kids, live in a house. I wouldn't go so far as to say it was my dream, but it was just seemed like that was just what was going to happen. That was the expectation. So a lot of that did happen. I grew up, I went to college, met a great guy, got married, got a house, and then expectation, reality. We were married a couple of years, and then we wanted to start a family. We were both about 32 at that point. And, you know, we figured, start trying, won't take that long. We're still young enough, we could have two kids, and everything will be fine. And little did we know that that was the beginning of a six-year journey through infertility hell, for me especially, because I took the brunt of it physically, and back. That obviously was not expected, that we would have to go through that. At the time when we started the journey, I was working at a market research firm, and market research for some reason is very heavily skewed female, especially in the project management sphere that I was in. So there, I was surrounded by women, and we all seemed to be between our mid-20s and our mid-30s. And so there were about 3 or 4 years there where I was always running into a pregnant belly. Boy, was that disheartening. I mean, I felt like a failure. I didn't feel feminine. I felt very much less than, and it got to the point where I was having very jealous, almost evil thoughts. You know, it just affected me to the point where I was just not a very nice person. And at that point, also, we were going through IVF. We went through it several times, it failed. We did other means of trying to get pregnant as well. And it just wasn't working. And it was taking a toll on me mentally, physically. I mean, it was painful, like physically painful to go through the treatment that we went through. And, you know, failure after failure, and it was just like, why is this happening? Why? You know? And it's incredible the amount of entitlement I felt. It's really kind of weird to say that now, but I felt like I was entitled to be pregnant. I was supposed to be. I mean, everybody else did. Why couldn't I? You know, there was no fairness in that. And I got to some very, very dark places. Finally, there was some acceptance. John, God bless him, he got there before I did. He, you know, with me, the physical manifestation of being pregnant was so tied into what I thought motherhood was. So it was very difficult for me to get over it. He was probably 2 years ahead of me in terms of, you know, maybe we should start thinking about adoption. And I'm not going to say that we settled on it, because it was never, that makes it sound like it was a second choice. It was never a second choice. It was just the only choice. It was the only choice at that point. And we knew, John first and eventually me, that that was the way that we were going to have a family. And we had to accept that. It was not going to happen any other way. So either we gave up and just stayed as a family of two, or we moved on. And we decided to move on. So in that sense, I had to redefine what my concept of motherhood was. It was not, you know, the act of being pregnant and giving birth to some, to biological offspring. It was just nurturing. It was the act of, you know, it wasn't defined by those 9 months of gestation. It was, you know, you have a child and you raise it and you nurture it and you see it grow up. And, you know, we were fortunate. We had that opportunity. Now, there was one pitfall along the way. We did have a failed adoption as well. And you can imagine after all we had been through with infertility, oh boy, that sucked. That happened right before Christmas, 2002. Holidays were not very happy that year. After that, I had to take a break. I said to John, you know, what is the universe telling me? It's telling me, you know, I'm not meant to be a parent. You know, all these, failures to have a biological child, and now we have an adoption that falls through. What is going on here? So we took a break. 6 months later, we got a phone call. And the result of that phone call, most of you know, he grew up here. And he'll be 21 at the end of the month, which is blowing our minds. But we had the happy ending. And I think I can sum it up best by what a friend of mine who adopted three biological children, siblings, I should say, three biological siblings used to say. That as adoptive parents, our journey to parenthood is the same. It's the same it's the different journey, I should say, same cool ending. And that is basically all that I wanted to relate to you, that it can be difficult, but you can get through it, and it's ultimately been the most rewarding experience of my life to have Matthew. So thank you.
Thank you, Gail, that was so meaningful. And I never read that book, Sheila, so thanks for bringing that to us this morning. Good morning, I'm Cindy Westfall, and I've been attending TPUF for a little over a year. I came here in a period my daughter brought me here last year when I was going through some transition, and I have found great comfort here. So I would like to thank you all for that tremendously from my heart. So when I got Gina's email a week or two ago to reflect on Mother's Day, I did a lot of reflecting. and I'd like to share with you a story that kept coming up to me this week and even last week about, I think it was 15 years ago, we were at, my family and I, my husband and my three kids and I were at a diner, a local diner, and next to us was a family like ours, a mom and a dad and three teenage kids who you were worried at any minute about a food fight breaking out, so. So we were sitting there and the mom had a seizure, a grand mal seizure. So severe that she fell to the ground and her shoes came off. So I went over to her and held her to protect her. And when she came, and I was talking, as she came out of it, I was talking to her husband, and she has a history of seizures, but she hadn't had one in a number of years, and her children had never seen her have one. And here they are sitting there at the table. And so when she came to, she looked up at me and she was very confused. And I said, hey, Mary, I'm Cindy. And you just had a seizure. And are you okay to sit up? And she sat up and, sorry, if I get, for some reason, I find this story 15 years later emotional. She sat up and looked across the room right at her son, whose face was traumatized. And she smiled at him as a mother smiles at a child with love and adoration. Just complete love. I just felt that, like it's spiritual, you know. And he immediately smiled back. He relaxed and he smiled back because he got that such a powerful message that everything was going to be okay. He had just witnessed something horrific, but that everything's going to be okay. And I felt honored to be there for that moment. And I thought to myself, I hope I can be as giving and loving to my children someday. So that's the story. As I reflected this week, I'm reminded, and as if Gail was talking, of a mother's love and adoration for her children, however it is that they become her children, because they come through us, not from us, as Khalil Gibran says, that it's all encompassing and it's all consuming, the love that a mother has for a child. And in this love of her children, a mother advocates and she heals and she comforts, she lifts up, and sometimes a mother makes mistakes. I've told my children many times, they'll remember, sometimes you'll learn from me what to do and also what not to do through my role modeling. Sometimes you'll learn what to be and what not to be. And sometimes our relationship with our mother is complicated, as we all know. In reflecting on mothers and motherhood, I kept coming back to love. I learned from my mom how to love and how to love others. Our mothers are our first love. And one thing I've learned most is that love heals. Love heals. God knows we have a lot of healing to do right now in this world. And so we have a lot of loving to do. And so I would ask us to love like a mother. Everyone that you come across. The first time I was a nurse, many of you know I was a nurse for many, many years, and I'm still a nurse. I was an ICU nurse, and I had my first child when I was 31. Took me a year. Was challenging for the first one to get pregnant. The second one, we got pregnant on our first try, and the third one, we were trying not to get pregnant, so just saying. But I actually remember my first patient I was taking care of after I got back to work in the ICU, and as I'm looking at him, and he was on a ventilator and everything, I felt this overwhelming compassion that I had never felt before for not any of my patients in 7 years, because I saw my child in him. And I see my children and all of you, and everywhere I go, now I see my children, because we're all children of the universe and we're all brothers and sisters, I like to think. So yes, I would ask that we love like a mother, every one of us. And I would like to just parting words, some from some ancient scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. I love these words. They were said at my wedding many years ago. Love suffers long and is kind. I know, I thought it was love is patient and kind, but the Bible that I was reading said, love suffers long and is kind. And love suffers long is patience, right? Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity. Again, iniquity I thought was inequity at first, but it's iniquity, which is immoral behavior. Interesting. And I just looked that up this morning too, because I was like, iniquity, what is that? It's not inequity, it's iniquity. And I digress. I'm sorry, but rejoices in the truth, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Gail. We're going to take a break. I found this video online of somebody who took 24 hours of phrases that a mother might say and condensed it into 2.5 minutes. So if you can keep up with the lyrics, please do. You will have to stand to sing because it's going to take a lot of energy keeping up. So let us break with this little entertaining song about moms and what they might say. And please.
Get him now, get him now, get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes, here's your shoes, hear the words I said. Get him now, get up and make your bed. Are you hot, are you cold, are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework at? Grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast, the experts tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take your vitamins so you will grow one day to be big and tall. Remember the orthodontist will be seeing you in 3 to 2 days. Don't forget your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play. Don't shovel, chew slowly, but hurry, the bus is here. Be careful, come back here, did you wash behind your ear? Play outside, don't play rough, would you just play fair? Be polite, make a friend, don't forget to share. Work it out, wait your turn, never take a dare. Get along, don't make me come down there. Clean your room, fold your clothes, put your stuff away. Make your bed, do it now, we don't have all day. Were you born in a barn, would you like some hay? Could you even hear a word I say? Inside the phone, get off the phone. Don't sit so close, turn it down, no texting at the table. No more computer time tonight. Your iPod, my iPod, and your own listener. We go in with the room, and what time do you think you're coming home? Say thank you, please excuse me, makes you welcome everywhere you roam. Appreciate my wisdom someday when you're older and you're grown. I can't wait till you have a couple little children of your own. You'll thank me for the counsel I gave you so willingly, but right now I thank you not to roll your eyes at me. Close your mouth when you chew, would appreciate. Take a bite, maybe two, of the stuff you hate. Use your fork, do not burp, or I'll set you straight to eat the food I put up on your plate. Get an A, get the door, don't be smart with me. Get a grip, get in here, or I'll count to three. Get a job, get a life, get a PhD, get a dose of I. Don't care who started it, you're grounded until you're 30. Get your story straight and tell the truth for once, for heaven's sake. And speak all your friends, jumped off a cliff. Would you jump too if I said it once? I've said it at least 1,000 times before that. You're too old to act this way. It must be your father's DNA. Look at me when I am talking, stand up straighter when you walk. Praise for everything and everything. Hey, stop crying or I'll give you something real to cry about. Woo! Brush teeth, wash face, get your PJs on. Get a bed, get a hug, sing a prayer with mom. Don't forget, I love you. And tomorrow we will do this all again because of love that never ends. You don't need the reason why. Because. I said so.
To William Tell's overture. Okay, let's continue on. Where are we in the program now? We're with our reading. Susan Hare, and then Flo.
Let's see. Okay. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I don't know how I come on after that. I am going to actually talk about my mother. She loved to write. So you'll see what the story is behind what I'm reading, but I decided to go that route today. My mother, Janet Lee, never thought of herself as domestic. She always did the daily chores required in the era in which she became a wife and mother, but enjoyed writing when she could, and then later really showed her skills in full-time administrative work. However, she proved time and time again what a great model and mother she was. I recall her taking my grandparents, who were my father's parents, when she had four young children and did not drive at the time. When we relocated from the West to New Jersey for my father's job, she transported three children under three by plane by herself, while I, the oldest, went by train with my dad and grandparents. She dealt with many power outages in the early 50s, if you are old enough to remember that, sometimes for days due to hurricanes or snowstorms with a busy family. Once, both parents helped get my grandfather out the back of the house from his room. He did not walk, he was in a wheelchair, and up and in the front door so he could be by the fireplace when we did not have heat. During the outages, she cooked on a gas stove in the basement, which we had brought with our move, surrounded by cardboard boxes, and reported the gas only flared up once. It wasn't a problem. Not sure about codes back at that time. She always tried to keep a diary. She loved reading Irma Bombeck. One Christmas, I started giving her a yearly diary, which she kept during the 80s when she had more time for entries. She was always open, caring, and accepting of her children, who vary greatly. My husband can tell you how greatly the siblings vary. She always attended fairly liberal Protestant churches through her life. So I believe she would thumbs up our decision to come and join Thomas Paine. To give you an idea of her personality, I would like to close with a couple of pages from the first year. So this, if this doesn't slip off, this is one of the diaries that I gave her. This one happens to be 1985, but she loved to write, so I thought maybe that would encourage her. This is what she says about diaries. This opens the book. Diaries do seem selfish. Me, 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 me. But there are two strong reasons I will enjoy recording in this diary. I am forgetful, more and more with the advancing years, and perhaps I can look back when I have forgotten probably insignificant little things I still want to refer to or remember or straighten out in my mind. They may not matter to anybody else, but I'll have a point of reference myself. Whenever I'm in one of those spells when I think we never do anything, we never go anywhere, I never read anything of any importance or anything to keep my aging mind active and growing, perhaps I'll be able to look back and prove to myself that isn't necessarily so. I have done this. I have read that. Of course, the big problem with diaries, I feel, is that through the busy, hurried, full, interesting, vital periods in life, there's no time to write. And then there is time to write, there's little or nothing to write about. But the two reasons above still stand. None of us know how many days are left to us. This diary is an effort to enjoy and appreciate everyone that we have. Now, yeah, and all I can say is I'm so glad she left us these memories there. I was so glad I did that, but sometimes it was just went shopping today. You know, it didn't matter what she wrote, it was in her words. So thank you very much. That's my mom. Oh, my daughter is named after my mother, Janet.
Hi, I'm Flo Shore. Okay. And today I'm going to read a short poem that I wrote about my mother. which I was able to share with her before she passed. She was born Idell Josephine Wilder and lived out her days in Florida. And the very last time she came to visit me, I took her to all the places that she had wanted to go in the Philadelphia area and hadn't gotten to go to for a long time. And one of them was the Audubon Museum, back when it used to be just Audubon's little house. And so after the visit, I wrote this poem. It's called Of Audubon and Idell. Audubon, a life in dedication to winged companions. He gathers them to him, watching, studying, observing their ways, notating their curious movements. Living side by side with us, their tidy homes of twigs and grasses, so near they come and go. Chortling in unison, communication mysterious to us yet universal. Our feathered counterparts of the air pay us a visit seasonally, then a passage, a migration. A life of quiet observation, long brushes, colored paints, a nest of tiny speckled eggs. His study, his bedroom retreat suspended in time. Dusty antiquities, scholarly volumes piled high, pen and crisp paper await. A beautiful view from what was once his window on the world, pastoral, bucolic, and so enticing for those, like my mother, who may flirt with silence and simplicity. Idell, self-contained, evolving, decisive. She climbs the stairs, appreciating each floor of the tiny museum. No detail goes unnoticed. A life sometimes troubled, weighted down, worldly cares. Her children always first and foremost in her thoughts. She writes, paints, and loves nature, volunteers, and lives quietly by herself, but not alone. When she reaches the top floor, his bedroom, she rests. His austere retreat beckons, he greets her. I imagine as I witness the scene that he nods with welcoming recognition, a deep understanding that reaches across ages. Although they've never met, this visitor knows him, he observes, and for a frozen moment they meet at the edge of time. The second piece, which I dedicated to her, but she never really got to hear, had to do with swimming. And she loved to swim and she loved to go to water aerobics. And she went nearly every day at the pool down in Boynton Beach. The poem is called After the Final Swim. After the final swim and the water's cooling ripple becomes a golden memory, I look toward autumn, resolute in my gaze. As the summer sun reluctantly recedes, with each year and each fleeting season, I slow in clarity, yet deepen in candor. As worldliness and vision narrow and dim, the illumination of a broadening inner life develops. Now we gather as orphans and crones, ancient and wizened. The spark from within graciously accepted, flames gently fanned. The scepter of eternity extends, gleaming, gleaming with the promise of an unknown yet to be explored after the final swim. Thank you.
Thank you, Flo. Thank you, Susan. This is the time in our service where we take a few moments to briefly share our joys and our concerns. I'm going to turn this part of the service over to our tech guru, John Sayer, who will give directions.
Okay, as Gina said, this is the time of our service called Matters of the Heart, where you can share a joy that's lifting you up or a sorrow that's weighing you down with our faith community. We're going to have a brief musical interlude here while you gather your thoughts. And then once that has completed, if you're here in the sanctuary, if you would go one at a time up to the microphone at the front, and just state your name and your joy or your concern, and then we will move from that to those on Zoom. Reminder for those on Zoom, we use the Zoom raise hand feature, which you can find under reactions at the bottom of your Zoom window. Or if you can't find that, just turn your camera on and wave like crazy, and I'll get you on there. If you would prefer, you can also add a joy or concern into the chat, and I will read that out if anybody includes anything there. So we're going to have a brief musical interlude. This is called Terega Lagrima, and it'll be performed by Alex Park. So we will bring this time of sharing to a close. We're going to sing This Little Light of Mine this week.
I selected This Light of Mine with Odetta. It's really quite uplifting because I feel that it's a reminder that we as a community support each other to keep each of our lights burning inside as we navigate through life, through our the lifting joys, but our tragedies, our sadnesses, that we help and support each other through that. Let's see. And again, Odetta is fabulous. The time is getting short. So John, I'll let you decide when to cut it off at 2, 3, or 3.5 minutes. They're all good breaks. Please stand and just sing with Odetta. The words aren't there all, but it's just repetitive. This little light of mine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. There's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. There's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Yes, there's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, shine. There's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. There's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. May we know that together. This a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine, shine, oh, everywhere I go. I'm gonna let it shine, everywhere I go. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
All in my room, I'm gonna let it shine. All in my room,
I'm gonna let it shine.
All in my room,
I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
As I extinguish the chalice this morning, I'm going to give you some words that have stayed with me that my mother said. We had some sort of incident that I don't remember exactly what it was, but I thought my mother was going just too far out. And I said, "Mom, you're too kind." And she said to me, "Jeannie, you could never be too kind." So to honor my mother, I selected the song Amazing Grace, which is one of her favorites. So again, please stand and join in song. Before I turn the podium over to Preston with the announcements, I want to thank everybody who participated in this service today. Cindy, Flo, Gail, Sheila, I'm missing somebody.
Susan.
For those who shared your joys and concerns, Carl online for our help with the tech, with both the video, Steve, and John, our tech guru, and all of you who showed up and participated. Thank you so very much. So I'll turn the podium now over to Preston, and our postlude will be The Beatles, Let It Be. Thank you.